Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, Wednesday, October 23rd, News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm Sean Carey. We'll be joined by Steve in a moment in the Sunbury Motors studio.
Yeah,
and there
absolutely.
He is. Impeccable timing.
Absolutely. Great to be with everybody today. How's everything going in the interim finance department?
I haven't spoken to the big guy today, actually.
Oh, I didn't say Roger. I mean,
no, we spoke with Roger last night. Sends his best to you, by the way.
Who is? You know what? In all honesty, maybe that's all kidding aside. We'll get back to ripping the suit in a moment. but look at the model of what radio is today, in a lot of ways, and. Roger believes in doing it the right way, as far as I'm concerned. Now, maybe this is a get off my lawn moment, but then again, I like my lawn. And you think about, Sean, you're there, Mark's there, Laura's there, Crosswalk, Cotrillo, all the games that we carry. I don't think you can connect with a. But we have 10,000 watts here. So people in State College can pick us up, and people in Harrisburg can pick us up, and Wilkes-Barre and Hazleton. But more importantly, Bloomsburg, Danville, Lewisburg, Turbotville, Sealands Grove, Shamokin Dam, Berlin, all those areas, and I could mention more and more towns, obviously, that can pick us up and that we can talk to and relate with every day. And if they want to call, they can call. Like, I didn't mention Milton, but Dick from Milton's always called us over the years. And you get a connection with them. And I say this with all due respect. I'll just throw out a name that doesn't really mean anything. But, like, take, for example, a national... entity like Will Cain, for example, who does a very good job for ESPN Radio. But none of you can relate to Will Cain. Will Cain's not going to sit there and he's not going to talk in depth about Penn State football. He'll do a segment and then, and do the best he can with the knowledge he has to gloss over it. That's fine. He does a good job. But he's not going to do a high school football roundtable and... He's not going to be talking specifically for half an hour about the Eagles or the Steelers or something like that. And I think that's important. And Roger's always been able to get that. And, and I also respect the fact that he won't remove this guy's interim tag. I mean, it's just,
That's true. Tick, 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 tick. Well, we look at it this way. We're here to provide a service, especially with Friday nights with high school football, and especially when we're getting into the colder weather. People are going to wonder if schools are going to be closing. Well, hey, we still give them on the radio.
What are we going to do once we hit past Thanksgiving? We're going to do Santa Claus again.
Oh, yeah.
It's corny. It's this thing. Guess what? People like it.
Guess what?
They love it.
1 week, guess what? 1 week from Friday, day after Halloween, people start calling us to get their sons and daughters and grandkids lined up to talk to the big guy via the Magic Radio, and it fills up quick every single year.
Well, it fills up quick every single year because people enjoy it and they love it. It is the equivalent of what's the general criticism you hear of Hallmark movies? Oh, they're so sappy and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, look at the numbers. People are watching it. Right? It's the same thing with this. People listen to that. It's part of a tradition in the Valley that connects radio station to people. I listen to Matt's News. And Matt's News is always about what's happening here all the time. And it's interesting. I was reading an article about the economy. And they were talking about, because President Trump's in Pennsylvania again today. He's in Pittsburgh. He has a speech about natural gas. But they were saying that, you know, how are things in the state? And this was a national, this was the, I think it was a Wall Street Journal article. They specifically brought out Woodmode. And what happened there? Now, what radio station was on top of that story from second one? And it was this station. And then, you know, you're always connecting. The station's always connecting locally. Same thing with 94KX, same thing with Eagle 107, same thing with WMLP, same thing with 100.9 The Valley. Always connecting locally. And you can only do that if you invest in local people. Well, they do. So, yeah, so Roger gets it. It's one of the reasons, why nearly 9 years ago, yeah, believe it or not, I guess it would be nearly eight years ago, he and I got together and we said, hey, we think we can do this. Because we thought we'd connect. And that's how you do it. Then we got Sean on board. Yeah. Jamie was tremendous. I miss Harry. Don't you miss Harry?
Oh, we do, yeah.
Yeah, miss Jamie.
Yeah.
Trying to think who we have in those two spots right now.
One's interim and one is not. And the one that's not interim visits the transmitter from time to time.
What am I doing? Oh, my goodness. So might as well end that segment with a little bit of fun, a little levity. World Series last night, obviously, Scherzer guts it out. Completely guts it out. Gets the win. Win five innings through, I think, 112 pitches. Juan Soto, remember yesterday we were talking to Jesse Doherty, again, connecting the Valley to the World Series. We had Jesse Doherty from the Washington Post on from Houston yesterday. And I said, what are people about to learn about Juan Soto? And Jesse said, you're about to learn he's an incredibly talented player. Well, you watched one game last night. How talented do you think he is? He's something else. Now, today we're going to connect the Eagles fans to Brandon Lee Gauton, who's going to join us. Neil Coulong will be on today as well. Then tomorrow is our high school football roundtable. And probably get Chris Soleri of the Detroit Free Press on tomorrow, too. How's that sound? Talk about the game.
Go to when it comes to Michigan State. Hoops or football? Chris is the guy.
Yeah, it does. And we'll start out with hoops with him because of the Josh Langford injury. Number one ranked team of the country coming in. All right, so. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's good to hear from Roger. Still interim, huh?
Yes.
You haven't had a chance to bring up the 297 thing
here on the show, or
no, with him.
Well, we did on air last Friday night on game night. Can we? I said to him, it's like, hey, you called three wins in a row. You got a three-bagger. You got a turkey. And I kind of led into the bowling conversation, and I mentioned the Mr. 298 reference. And he goes, no, it was 297. I was like, whoa.
All and I believe time. My comment to you was it was a bigger choke than we realized.
I said, 298 just sounds a heck of a lot better than 297.
Well, I'll tell you right now, 298 is sounding better. Wait a second. This is from a guy that I could bowl for a week and I total 298. All right, let's take a break.
Well, the place we moved into a little over a year ago, I'm actually down the hill from the local bowling alley. So I would think there could at least be three pins in there that are defective they don't use anymore.
Certain things just scream out happy holidays. All right. Look, we found them. Three pins from immortality here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brandon Lee Gowton will join us from BleedingGreenNation.com. Talk about the Eagles. Neil Coulong on the Steelers. Steelers, you didn't talk to Mark, did you?
Lawrence, a little bit this morning. Mm-hmm.
The promo about Steelers have another bye week. They have the Dolphins.
Yeah. That's right. We had that sprinkled on earlier on WKOK this morning. I was waiting for him to bring it up to me.
Never did, huh?
No, he must have figured it out.
Well, you know, big doings. You know, it's. You got what's going on in the Middle East, and you got impeachment talk, things like that. You know, a little promo might not be on his radar.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you said earlier, you know, president's in the state today.
Yeah.
No, Fred Keller is with, actually, the president in Pittsburgh this afternoon.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Focus on that.
I'm just saying, he's probably locked in on that.
Sure, as he should be.
Our little promo doesn't make them. Well, we had fun doing it.
We did.
So there you go.
It only took, you know, one take. And we didn't even think about it ahead of time. Very organic. unlike writing it open for a playoff game, but
oh. Yeah, then he had to read it to us. It was like,
ugh. Well, he wanted our approval. He wanted our input. Wanted our input in case, you know, needed a little seasoning.
Well, I approved, didn't I?
You sure did.
I didn't say I listened. yeah, great. Should be great. You know, there's a game after this, right? So.
Yeah, he was in rare form last night at our drinks for Pink last night.
Uh-oh. Yeah. What happened?
Check your phone.
Check my phone?
Yeah, I just sent it to you. Sent you a little 15-second video.
There's a video?
Yeah, it's like a little clip. He ended up behind the bar last night.
Okay, last night behind.
So, and big thanks to everybody that joined us last night for our Paint the Valley Pink Drinks for Pink at the Edison Restaurant in Sunbury. Had a great time. I will be at Rooney's Pub in New Columbia, not far off Route 15 and Interstate 80, on next Wednesday night for another Drinks for Pink as we raise money for the Thyra M. Humphrey Center for Breast Health. But yeah, Kevin, a.k.a. the Sued Her, the interim director of finance, behind the bar last night taking tips and got into a little impromptu dance session with Laura Good from 94KX.
Laura is outstanding. I haven't seen anybody move like that since they were getting in the lifeboat on the movie Titanic. The boat's rocking. What are you doing? Last night behind the bar.
Yeah.
You know, and really, that is typical of what we see because, again, he's behind the bar, correct?
Right.
And is anybody being served drinks?
At that point, no, but they were busy.
That's exactly right. That's what I've been trying to say. It's like the waiter that goes down around the restaurant and looks so busy he realizes that nobody at the table has any food. I mean, I rest my case. We now have video evidence. Game two will be tonight. It'll be Verlander, who has always been incredible in the postseason. Incredible. But this postseason, not so much. He's been at times average, which is unusual for him. Strasburg has been tremendous in this postseason. And he'll go tonight for Washington. They're looking to go up 2-0, heading to D.C. Wow. Patrick Mahomes threw in practice today. They have not ruled him out for Sunday night. Also, David Ross looks like he's going to be the new manager of the Cubs. Jim Harbaugh has denied any NFL interest, calls rumors, quote, total crap. Okay. I always love that when they ask a coach, have you talked at all with the NFL? No, I have not. That's not the question. The question should be, have you or your representatives or agents talked to anybody in the NFL? Right? Because you have plausible deniability with have you talked to the NFL. You have plausible deniability. If your agent is talking to them, you aren't talking to them. I'm focused on my team. Right? Now when it's over with, I'm going to call my agent and see how it went. Oh, boy. But that's, you know, so that's what he said today about that. Because they're talking about exit strategies and so forth. Now, where these stories come from, I don't know. But this is something, at some point, I want to talk to Rich Scarcella about this. And Frank Bodani and I have touched a little bit on this show. But maybe we got to do it in a roundtable format. Get like two of those guys on together. I don't know if we do multiple phone calls or not. But what is the state today of sports journalism? When you have guys like Frank, Rich Scarcella, and others, Joe Giuliano and Bob Flounders and Donnie Collins and people like that, who are careful in multi-sourcing all the time, as opposed to somebody who's just trying to get their name out there and they're throwing stuff out there. And they're not multi-sourcing and they're not as careful. What's that doing for the trust? Just something to talk about, something to think about. Brandon Lee Gowden, next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Very pleased to be joined by Brandon Lee Gowton from BleedingGreenNation.com. Brandon, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, I don't think, if I go back to the preseason, I didn't think we'd be having this conversation at this point with the talent that they have. So when you look at the Eagles, what hasn't fallen into place?
Oh, that's a great question, Steve. Where to begin? So I think this team across the board, obviously in their loss to the Cowboys here, and really a huge spot for them, you know, a really critical spot where they really needed to win that game and take first place in the NFC East and kind of reestablish themselves coming off that bad loss to the Vikings. I mean, they kind of just failed at every phase. Offensively, not good enough. Two turnovers right out of the gate. All of a sudden, they're down 14-0 just like 6 minutes into the game. Slow starts have been a huge issue for this team. They haven't been able to fix it going back to last year, so that's obviously a big concern. And then defensively, I mean, they're the only team in the NFL this year that has allowed 20-plus points in the first half of five games. So that's been a big issue for them, too. Their secondary has obviously had a lot of issues. The pass rush is not good enough. And then even special teams, I mean, their kicker has been perfect this year, but they've had some coverage issues. They're one of only two teams to allow a kickoff return touchdown. There's been some bad penalties on that unit. They're just kind of failing in every phase right now.
All right, so I want to get to DeSean Jackson. When he's been in there, what kind of difference has he made, and how tough has it been to make up for the loss?
Yeah, so, I mean, when the Eagles were down 20-7 to Washington in week one, I mean, they were able to get back in that game quickly because they had a field stretcher who could actually make some big plays and really stretch the defense, and that was huge for them. I mean, DeSean Jackson had a great game in week one. Carson Wentz obviously had one of his best games of the year when he had DeSean Jackson to work with, and all of a sudden you take DeSean Jackson's speed out of the equation, and the Eagles don't really have a lot of speed elsewhere to make up for that. I mean, Nelson Agholor is your best speed receiver after DeSean Jackson, and he has had major issues tracking the deep ball, being a reliable player on the outside. We've seen that over his career, that Nelson Agholor is just better in the slot, but that's really not the role the Eagles need him in right now. They need him to be a vertical threat, an outside receiver, and he's just proven time and time again that he really is not ideally suited for that. So the Eagles have this slow, plodding offense, and it's really been paired badly with these slow starts because they get behind, and then it's really like they have to pull teeth just to generate yards or points. It's not easy. The offense does not come easy to them at all, and having DeSean Jackson back would certainly help with that. But the way he's had this injury now, dating back to early in the season, and it's really unclear when he'll be back. It doesn't look like he'll be back for this week's game against the Bills. I mean, it's a huge issue for this team.
So let's get to Carson Wentz. Sometimes a quarterback will be out there. They don't give him enough to work with, and he is playing as well as he can. It happens. Sometimes they're part of the problem. So is Wentz playing as well as you think he can? He just doesn't have enough weapons, or is he part of the problem?
I think Carson Wentz is playing reasonably well. I think it's a huge issue that he doesn't have an explosive playmaker to work with. We saw how good he looked like with DeSean. I'm not going to, you know, tell you that Carson Wentz isn't part of the issue at all. I mean, obviously he could be playing better, but it feels like even when he plays perfect, there's still, it's not even a sure bet the Eagles win the game. They still kind of have to scrape and really fight and claw their way into it. And it's like, if he isn't perfect, well, you see what happens over the last 2 weeks, basically, and especially in Dallas. It's like they don't even stand a chance if he's not perfect. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him. You know, again, they're getting off to these slow starts, and he is somewhat culpable in that, but he's not really getting help anywhere. Like there's no one that's really making incredible plays for him, and you're really ever saying, oh wow, that guy really bailed out Carson Wentz. That's just not the case. These receivers right now lead the league in drops. They are not really speed receivers, as I kind of mentioned, so they're not really creating separation. According to NFL Next Gen stats, like, they're creating some of the least separation in the league. So it's a tough situation for Carson Wentz to work with right now. I think he needs to do a better job with certain things and can rise to the challenge a little bit more. But I just think the hand he's been dealt right now, it's really tough.
All right, so let's get to the defensive part. I mean, once again, it's musical chairs in the secondary. How tough has it been for them to play defense? Because personnel-wise, there's been a lack of cohesion.
Yeah, I mean, so ideally, you know, when the Eagles, if they have their druthers, you know, they would have Jalen Mills, who returned in Week 7 against the Cowboys, and I thought played reasonably well, especially for being his first game back in over a year, basically. And then Ronald Darby. And now both of those guys have been hurt. Darby wasn't really playing well before he got injured, so that's a concern. But the backups obviously haven't been great either. And it's gotten so bad where 2017 second-round pick Sidney Jones, who, you know, the Eagles had high hopes for this guy. They thought he could be they thought he was around like a top-10 talent in the 2017 NFL draft. If he had been healthy, obviously he had an Achilles injury that made him fall to the second round. And instead, I mean, Sidney Jones is now basically behind the guy the Eagles called up from the practice squad earlier this year. So he's been a severe disappointment. And the fact that the Eagles aren't getting really any good cornerback play outside of Rasul Douglas having some okay games and then Jalen Mills coming back last week and bringing some kind of competency to the position, it's been a big weakness for them. And like I said, they've invested resources into it with Sidney Jones, a second-round pick. They traded a third-round pick for Ronald Darby. Rasul Douglas was a third-round pick. So they've made investments into the position. So I think you can also kind of question, has the coaching staff really done a good job developing these guys as well? And it just seems like either the talent's not there, the coaching isn't there, whatever it is, it's just been a big issue for this team.
All right, so let's get to the matchup with Buffalo. And I'll lead into that before I really specifically get into Buffalo. Is there any sense that the Eagles' internal confidence has been shaken?
I mean, it's a big issue. I would say you look at where this team stands right now, and you have all these kind of off-the-field concerns, issues, distractions, whatever you want to call them, anonymous leaks. It's not great. It doesn't seem like it's a functional, healthy environment right now. Now, I think you can look at the Eagles' past here, and there have been issues and cracks in the surface before. And Doug Peterson, both in 2016, really every year of his career, 2016, 2017, 2018, they've had low points where you've almost wanted to count them out, and Doug Peterson has found a way to rally the troops, so to speak, and kind of turn things around. So I can't tell you that, you know, the Eagles have been broken before and they don't stand a chance, because we've seen them turn things around. But this is a critical point for them. I mean, how they go out and how they respond to these past 2 weeks, getting outscored 75-30 in these two losses, like how they go out and they give effort against Buffalo is going to be very telling about this team.
Buffalo is very good defensively. That's Sean McDermott's side. So winning the game is one thing. What do you think you can learn out of this from facing Buffalo?
Yeah, Buffalo is an interesting team because, like you said, they're 5-1, which is great. You know, it's obviously any team that's 5-1, you have to respect that. But at the same time, you look at the teams they've beaten, hasn't been super impressive, and they were almost down 12 points to the winless Dolphins this past Sunday. Ryan Fitzpatrick throws an interception in goal-to-goal situation. All of a sudden, the Bills are able to come back. But, I mean, you know, if they don't make that play, you could be talking about them as the only team that lost to the Dolphins. So they certainly have their weaknesses now. At the same time, they almost became the only team to beat the Patriots this year. So, as you said, the defense is very good. The offense has some issues. Josh Allen, you know, I think he has 7 touchdowns and 7 interceptions this season. Passer rating in the 80s, he hasn't been great. So, I really don't even think it's hugely important about, like, the Eagles necessarily beating some quality team. They just need to find a way to actually do things well again. I mean, that would be a win for them. And obviously coming out with the actual victory is important, but for them to actually, like, show some kind of coherent football in any and all phases would be a big step forward from what we've seen the past couple of weeks here, and especially against Dallas. So they really just need to get back to just looking like a well-run football team instead of a team that really kind of makes you wonder, okay, what does this team do well at all?
I think they need to play with the lead. I think they've been playing so much catch-up football. I think mentally that wears on you.
I agree. I think that's a big reason why, you know, Carson Wentz has been in a tough spot. I think it's been grinding. I think it's kind of puts him in the spot where he feels like he's pressing and kind of has to, because they're always down. I mean, they don't get off the fast starts, and I think that not only wears on him, but really the whole team as a whole. So yeah, it would greatly behoove them to actually get off to a fast start for once.
Brandon, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your insight.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Brandon Lee Gowden, BleedingGreenNation.com. And, of course, you can hear the Eagles right here on Eagle 107 with Merrill and Mike. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Football team took the Chiefs' advice. Did you hear that? But the play-by-play guy won't take our advice.
Still trying to figure that out.
We told him don't show up. We got control. See that? The theater's going to do Beauty and the Beast?
Yes.
I thought you just sent me that video.
All from last night.
All right. World Series ratings are down. They had 1.1 million fewer viewers than last year's Game 1, which obviously featured the Dodgers and the Red Sox, two names in baseball. Eventually, as the series went with the Red Sox and the Dodgers last year, they got the Game 5, which was the clinching game. They got a 10 rating nationally, which is huge. They're going to struggle. This is the lowest rated World Series opener since 2014. So that's why I look at what they have proposed to do with the minors, and it makes no sense. You've got to keep investing. There are a couple things about what they're doing with their proposal with the minors that makes no sense to me. Number one, analytics keeps telling you that players over the age of 33 have less value now than ever before, which means the goal is to make the majors consistently younger. Okay? And by making it consistently younger, guess what? You end up paying them less. All right? Well, don't you need to have a system to develop them? So you want to cut the development levels, but you want younger players playing in the majors. I just want to, you know, there's the disconnect. And then the other part is, let's talk about the viewers. The viewership down 1.1 million viewers from Game 1 last year at Fenway between the Red Sox and the Dodgers. You're trying whatever you can to get people to be excited about what you're doing. When you start cutting out the roots of it, you know, where the family can afford to go to the game and so forth, and say, hey, you know, I saw Brock Holt play in State College. Hey, the Red Sox are playing down in Baltimore. Let's go see, watch Brock Holt play. Yeah. That's why what they're trying to do doesn't make any sense to me. So tonight, Strasburg and Verlander. Game 2. And I know somebody who picked the Astros in 5. Oh, I believe that was me, so they better giddy up here. Come on, chop, chop. Let's go. I mean, if the Astros don't win this series, I mean, it's going to be the equivalent of leaving 3 pins out there. We have a chance to pull 300.
That's true. But it's interesting stacking Houston's top 6 in the lineup to Washington's top 6 in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Houston was raking last night, but it's just leaving so many guys in scoring position and just not bringing them in.
You need to get the key hit. Springer's playing well. Altuve's playing well. You know who's not playing well is Bregman. Bregman had a fabulous regular season. He's been in the playoffs so far. That happens. But it's not the right time for it to happen for Houston. And be honest with you, Rendon's been okay. Soto's been great. Oh, my goodness. He's playing like a star.
Well, it's like we've said on this show before. I mean, solo home runs, yeah, it gets the crowd juiced up, but that's the thing. It's a solo home run. I mean, Houston was trying to get back into it last night after, you know, being down, 5-2, and they were trying to get back into it. But it was only a solo home run.
But this is where fate enters into it. You see the Springer double? Okay, you see the cut out of the fence?
Yeah.
If he hits it 18 inches to the right, it's a home run. Because that's a point out of the bullpen where the fence goes up. You know, I thought, wow, 18 inches to the right, and the game's tied. That's where fate enters in. Yeah, I'll give you one where fate enters in. Tony Clark, who's now the head of the Baseball Players Association, was playing first base for the Yankees. And he cracks one down the right field line. I mean, trouble. And it one hops the shortest wall in the ballpark. The wall's only 3 feet high in right field at Fenway. It one hopped it for a ground rule double. And so instead of, I think, tying the game or taking the lead, they got nothing out of it. Fate enters in sometimes. That was one 18 inches to the right, home run. But unfortunately, it was 18 inches to the left, and it hit the wall and came back in. Springer got a double. So that happens. Yeah. We talk about that game of inches here or there. Yeah. He belts it. But he hit it to exactly the spot that if it's going to be hit hard, the Nationals were okay with it. But they won. Their first ever World Series victory. Here's an interesting fact. I'm going to take you back to November 2001. November 2001. Baseball's at 30 teams. The Diamondbacks, as an expansion team, have just won the World Series, beating the Yankees in 7. In November of 2001, Major League Baseball votes 28-2 to contract the Montreal Expos and the Minnesota Twins. The Twins end up taking it to court. John Henry sells the Marlins, takes over the Red Sox. The guy that had been owning the Expos takes over the Marlins. The league has to run it. But they vote to contract the Nationals and the Twins in November 2001. Fast forward now to 2018. The Montreal Expos / Washington Nationals are in the World Series. And the Minnesota Twins won 101 games this year. The Twins had to go to court to stay alive, and did. But 18 years later, the Twins won 101 games, and the Nationals were in the World Series. And they were voted, they were on the contraction block in 2001. How about that for a little slice of knowledge for you there, Sean?
Love it.
Yeah. Speaking of contraction, who's doing the Chickalimmie game on Friday?
We'll have our award winner back at the mic on Friday night for Week 10 versus Milton.
Oh, when did Dave win the award? Oh, sorry. I hate him.
Earlier this year.
Yes, we recall.
Yes.
Were we invited to that?
Oh, you mean the award ceremony, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, we could go. I mean, any of us with Sunbury Broadcasting would go, sure.
Did it involve speeches?
No, you just have to walk up and grab the award and go back to your table. No, I wouldn't. No, not at all. He probably had something on a card written down if the moment, you know, opened up for him, but I don't think it did.
Don't want to think suit light.
Right.
The room, like, look at that. Who's suit light?
It all started at a 10,000-watt radio station.
Radio station in Fresno, California. Ted Baxter, played by Ted Knight, Mary Tyler Moore Show. All right, next half hour, Neil Coulong on the Steelers. They get the Dolphins this week on Monday Night Football.
Squish the fish.
Believe me, so far everybody else has.
I don't know. You're waiting for this Steelers moment where they play down to the competition and Fitzmagic's going to go crazy. So make sure it doesn't happen.
Are you all right? Have you looked at the tapes?
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.